stations, all call signs. This is Wrecker Actual, over. Stand by for transmission. Prepare to copy. This is American Vindicta.
Klaus Schwab from the World Economic Forum has said, "You will own nothing and you will love it." And that's represented by what's going on across the planet today, where the economy of the world is in free fall, and nowhere is it more in evidence than with our own President Biden deliberately trying to sabotage what we have, access to food, other resources. So Americans are in a unique position, really for the first time in our history. We're going to have to provide for ourselves or subject ourselves to the whim of the government. Do you really trust a government to feed you that left 1,000 Americans behind enemy lines in Afghanistan? I don't think so. So where do you go? When you ask the question, who's the best prepper out there today? There's only one answer. Ready-Made Resources and Robert Griswold. I call him King Prepper, and that's how a lot of people think of him. You have everything there you'd want, from night vision to storable food, how to prepare cooking in emergency situations, books and videos on how to prepare alternative energy, communication, first aid that you wouldn't think of, natural antibiotics, you name it, Bob has it. Now, here's the good thing about Bob Griswold that no one else does but him. You don't have to buy anything to talk to him. If you're not sure where to start with your preparation, no obligation phone call directly to Bob. You can talk to him for free. Most people will charge you an arm and a leg for a half-hour conversation. That's not Bob Griswold. He cares about helping America get prepared. Go to readymaderesources.com, or you can call the number directly at 800-627-3809. Again, that contact information, readymaderesources.com, for the best prepping outfit in the country, or call Bob Griswold directly, 800-627-3809.
Hey, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to American Vindicta. We have on with us Chance Gibson of Simply Clean Foods. Today, we're going to talk a little bit about politics, a little bit about prophecy, and then we'll get a tour of the Simply Clean Foods manufacturing and see how everything's going in there. One of these days, we're going to take the show to you, Chance, and we're actually going to film there, and we're going to be able to see how you're making everything to show the public. So I thank you for being able to come on with us today. And hey, man, we had a 45-minute long conversation that we probably should have recorded. As usual, I always do this. Like, the best conversations we never record. But you could have heard me wax poetically about law enforcement. Let's get started, man. Where do you want to begin?
Well, looking, I just sent out a newsletter to our customers. And we were thanking them for their support and patronage over the past year, 2023. And then we were stated, you know, we hope that they have a wonderful and safe 2024. And brother, I'd say 7 out of 10 people that replied to the email through either phone calls or email said they don't think that this is going to be such a safe 2024 after all. I might have mentioned on the last show, there's a sense of fear. I'm not talking about like we're a little worried. No, there's an absolute sense of fear from patriots, from Americans, people who love this country, people who have served this country in one aspect or another. They're concerned not as much for themselves, but for their families and for their extended families, because we're not seeing anything come out of this administration that is positive and gives us hope, right? You said something to me a minute ago. Your time in law enforcement, you saw, and it prepared you for, but you did see the best and worst in people when you worked in the prison system. And that was something that you felt like, I think you told me, you needed to do. You learned more there than anywhere else, I think you said. Well, you also said that most people are not prepared for what is coming. They're not prepared to go to war. They're not prepared to see the atrocities that you've experienced, right? And I've seen some, but nothing like you. So the question is, what does the average listener do? Not someone maybe that has served our country, but who has lived just a normal, God-fearing life and wants to do the right thing, but is very fearful. What do we say to them, brother?
Well, experience is the best teacher. So I tell people, train, prep, and pray. Train yourself, train your spouse, train your kids, train them in the directions that the Lord seeks for us to be trained in, but also physically, right? People are scared. People don't know what direction to turn. They think 2024 is going to be the end of the world. You have Christians out there that are in mainstream media and in media, alternative media, who are saying the sky is falling, 2024 is it. And that's not true. And the reason why I say it's not true is because no man will know the day, the time, or the hour when Christ returns. But we are to pay attention to the seasons, right? We're to pay attention to the seasons. The Master gave us plenty of things to look for before his coming. And I don't think, me personally, all right, Doug's not right about everything. I don't think we're there yet. The love for many is going to wax cold. What I have seen in my life, my very little time on this earth, like I said a while ago, since I was 17 to the time I was 34, I carried a gun for the government. I knew only that life. I knew nothing else. I did nothing else. And so I knew the men on the good side of that, and I knew the men and women on the bad side of that. And the average person is not ready for what everyone is saying is going to come, what's going to happen. Steve Quayle years ago said this, and it still rings true. What's coming is no longer coming. It's here. Dave Hodges and I, we will have 2 to 3 hour long conversations about that subject and about the things that we know that are here. This digital currency, it's here. The apostasy of the church worldwide, it's here. The spirit of Antichrist, it's here. World War III, it's right around the corner. You know, America, the Rome 2.0 and the collapse of it, it's here. People have chosen darkness over light, prophecy fulfilled. People are confused. They're in a state of derision and division. Jesus says to be calm during these times, to seek the presence of the Lord, not to be fearful, to be full of faith. Go to a church. See how much faith you see. You'll see a lot of pretty clothes and expensive watches, and you'll hear a lot of empty talk, especially from the one behind the pulpits. But you won't find a lot of faith. You'll find a lot of Jesus loves you. Keep doing what you're doing. See you next Sunday. You don't see conviction of sin. You don't see people fearing a all-powerful, almighty God anymore. Because, you know, what did Solomon say? You know, give me the things that I need and only that I need so that I'm never fulfilled. And then saying, who is God? Right? These are kind of where I'm thinking America has it all wrong. We think just because we can go down to, you know, the 7-Eleven, or we can go down to Walmart and buy practically whatever we need to sustain ourselves, that is the fulfillment of our life. But it's not. That's not what Christ meant. And so people in 2024, what should they do? What directions should they look for? Who should they listen to? What podcasts should they hear? How about you start with the Word of God?
Amen.
Start with the Word of God for yourself, in your heart, seeking the Lord. Then with your family, doing the same as Abraham was told, dig your well first. But Chance, what I'm seeing, and Jamie Wald and I recently had a conversation. It's fascinating to me. And I'm going to say something that's going to upset people, but I don't mean to upset people. I have a love for everybody like Jesus does. But I'm going to say things that are going to be upsetting because they're true. You have an entire groups of people who choose their denomination over their salvation, who choose their conspiracies over salvation, who will listen to YouTube a little bit more than they probably pray and read their Bible and talk about the gospel of Christ. And because of that, and look, I'm no better than people, okay? I'm sure the way I view my walk with Christ is apostate to some people because I don't go to a church. I've been told that. Doug, you don't go to a church, you don't have true salvation. Doug, you don't believe in flat earth, you don't have true salvation. Doug, you're not doing stuff the Pentecostals do, or the Baptists do, or the Catholics do. You don't pray the Eucharist, you don't have true salvation. I think it's funny how man has it all figured out. You got it all figured out, don't you? You got it all figured out. And Jesus, God, laughs at the man who finds himself to be wise. You got it all figured out. But if I put a whole group of you idiots together, you and your conspiracies and your denominations and all the things that you chase after, these mystic schools you chase after, this seeking knowledge and never being fulfilled that you chase after, and then I ask you very simply, did you pray today? Did you evangelize this week? Did you preach to your children at all today? Did you bless them? Did you do anything that the Bible actually tells you as the man, the head of your household, to do? Or did you get on YouTube for 3 or 4 hours and seek to fulfill that hole in your heart? I got a hole in my heart, and I got to fill it with a bunch of stuff. I see people, and I ask this question, are you fulfilling the flesh or the spirit? Are you chasing after the spirit of God or the spirit of this world? People can hate me for that. I don't care. I'm not here to be your friend. Doug does not get paid friendship pay. I don't get paid to coddle you. I don't get paid to give you a sugar-coated testimony of my walk with Christ, or a sugar-coated gospel. I'm not going to tell you anything else besides what comes from that book. The only other book that I read is a Bible study book, all right? from David Wilkerson. And praise God, people are buying this because it's changing their freaking lives. People yell at me because I read from Scripture. Well, Doug, you read an Amplified Bible or you read the ESV version. You're wrong. That's not King James. When all you people, in all your disagreements, when you all got it finally figured out, please enlighten the rest of us. Until then, since nobody's got it figured out, and since everybody can't agree upon anything, let's agree that Christ is your salvation, the only way to the Father is through the Son, and stop causing division and derision amongst the brethren.
Good. I feel so strongly about what you just said, because that same division, what we're talking about in many cases, is what is called doctrine. The flat earth thing cracked me up, but let's take this to a serious level. Christians used to be a majority in this country. We're now a minority in this country. So if we bicker and we fight and we use nasty words against other Christians, what do you think you're doing to the brethren? What do you think is happening to your faith, right?
Yep.
You're tearing apart the one thing that God asked us to do, to witness, to testify, to minister to others, to bring souls to Christ. That's what we're supposed to do. Look, the Trinity comes up quite a bit, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. Why is this a problem for so many Christians? Another thing, pre-trib, mid-trib, post-trib.
Who cares?
Come on, folks. Who cares? Let's not fight about it. All that's doing is creating a rift. Do we need any more separation? Lord knows there's enough in this country already between black and white, between blue and everybody else, right? There is enough of a rift in this country. Let's stop fighting. Let's come together. Let's lift each other up. Let's minister together. Let's help other people and lift other people up to bring them into the fold, because that is our true mission. Now, see, you got me going down. I'm getting a little bit passionate about this, but I mean this with all my heart, folks. Stop the fighting.
Preach.
Stop. It's BS. That's what it is. It's BS. Come together. Okay. You can have a conversation with another brother and sister in Christ. Okay. It doesn't have to come down to doctrine. How about we come together and we say, you know what? There's a lot of people hurting in our own damn community right now, and we need to get out there and we need to be teachers, preachers, and give what we can. We need to be a part of the solution, not part of the problem. But this, I'm doing it with my hands. This doesn't help anybody. This just doesn't help anybody. Be a part of the solution by being active in your community. We talked about when we first talked in private earlier, my wife is asking, you know, why can't we, you know, bring the community together, all meet up, let's have a barbecue, let's talk about what we believe in, let's talk about our faith. And what if something... apologize for that. What if something happens, which we believe it will? This is more important than any other time to come together as a community to help maybe the elderly couple down the street that can't defend themselves, right? To help the divorced mom and her three children down the road that need the help. This is what we're supposed to do as husbands, as men, and as believers. Okay, I'm going to get off my rant right now, but and get into some more pertinent things. But I'm just saying, I'm kind of over, Doug. I'm kind of over the infighting. I've witnessed it. I don't go to a specific church, but I am a minister, and we do have prayer meetings, and we do pray for others. This is what we're called to do. It's not an option. It's not an option for me anyway. You know, getting into the Word of God is not an option. It's what I want to do and what we should all do every day, because this is the guidebook of our life. This is where we, in order to achieve some state of righteousness, it starts there, right?
Well, you know, what's going on in the church, the reason why I almost stopped talking about politics, like originally when I started this whole podcasting thing, I revolved a lot of things around politics. That's what me and Dave Hodges cover in our Intel report. Which if anyone doesn't know, please go over to Rumble and sign up for Dave Hodges' Rumble account and subscribe and show him some love over there because YouTube sucks and it's probably not coming back. But people in America are disconnected because you live in a truly blessed nation. And people will say, oh, we're not blessed, we're cursed because we're this and we're that. Let me tell you something. You have wicked people in this nation doing wicked things and wicked organizations, but this nation is blessed. We're not in war. We're not in a state of depravity everywhere from sea to shining sea. We still have an economy. You can still go out in your own town right now and find a job, most likely on your smartphone with your high-speed internet in your home that has electricity and running water. Congratulations, you're now in the top 1% of the world. And people still complain. Look at what's happening in Armenia. In Armenia, right now, there's over 120,000 displaced Christians that are literally fleeing across the mountains because the Muslim hordes from Azerbaijan are chasing them, persecuting them, and killing them, chasing them out of Armenia. Who of you, let's do a little history class here. Who of you knows what was the first Christian nation? It was Armenia. Armenia was the first Christian nation, and they declared to the world that their official religion was Christianity. They were the first nation to do that. And they are some of the most persecuted Christians in the world. They are surrounded by nothing but communism, socialism, and Islam. And you never hear it. You never hear anything about it. There is a cleansing is a horrible word to use, but in the Muslim world in the Middle East, they are doing a cleansing right now of Christians. And it's hard for people to understand what you don't know in places you've never been to. And I get that. But if you're going to be on your phone 24/7, do some research. Figure out what's actually going on around the world and be up to date about it. Now you have something to pray about, people to pray for. We have brothers and sisters who are black, white, they're Asian, they're Hispanic, they're Middle Eastern. They're from all different parts of the world that they're under forms of persecution. And how much are you praying for them? How much are you worrying spiritually about your brothers and sisters across the world instead of getting your fix on getting in a stupid argument with somebody about whatever it is that you spend most of your time on the internet researching or preaching about? And once again, flat earthers, I love you guys. I don't care about flat earth. I don't care. I don't lose sleep over it. I don't think about it. It doesn't even come across my mind. What upsets me is that when I talk to these people, and I say people, that's not even fair because there is a ton of people that are flat earthers that listen to this podcast that are good people, good Christian men and women. That they have a love for God, a love for their brothers and sisters, and they just so happen to also believe in flat earth. Whatever, man. Hey, I probably believe something that some of you guys think is absolutely insane as well. So who cares? But just as bad as the extremist flat earthers are, is any other kind of Christian extremism, okay? I have been personally persecuted in churches by not flat earthers, but by the literal ladies, because they look at me and my tattoos and my beard and my hair and will literally tell me I don't belong here. I've been told I don't belong in a church before because I have tattoos. A flat earther has never told me that. But then again, last week, a flat earther told me I'm going to hell if I don't believe in flat earth too. So what you people have, some of you people, what you have is you have the wrong outlook in how you're trying to reach people. You know, being mean and condescending and calling names and trying to, castigate people because of your personal belief about something. How does that show Christ in you? When there's two or more gathered, Chance, Christ is with us, right? Us right now.
Right. Two or more in his name. That's right.
So we are judged based off of everything that we say that we do and everything that we don't say and that we don't do. So when you find yourself to be into one of these heated conversations about flat earth, round earth, hollow earth, non-hollow earth, dinosaurs lived with men, giants were this and people came from monkeys or whatever it is that your belief is, if it is leading you into temptation, into sin, would you say that if Christ was literally right next to you?
Well
would
said.
You would well you said. Would you castigate a brother or sister if the master was standing right next to you? And the answer most likely is no, of course you wouldn't. So why are you so brave to say these things online or to somebody? How are we bringing people to the foot of the cross to be redeemed by the blood of the Lamb to God, which is Jesus' whole mission here? How are you doing that while also causing division and strife amongst the brethren? That's 2024. That's what I see. That's what I'm dealing with. That's what I'm praying. My wife and I pray over is for the church to come back together in Philadelphia, brotherly love, loving one another again. But we know, Chance, we know what scripture says, that it's going to get worse. But Jesus also said, but the end is not yet. So that means hope is not done. Love is not done. We're to be more than conquerors. Christ is returning. Maranatha, keep looking up to the sky and praising his name. Brother emailed me a few days ago, and we've been conversating back and forth, and he's coming to the Lord, praise God. And, you know, he was asking me as a man, how are we to pray? How are we to talk to God? So the same way, your children would talk to you, the same way you would talk to your father. Right. And what do we pray about? I was like, first off, praise him. Hey, thanks for the oxygen in my lungs. Thank you for letting me live today. Thank you for not, even with any of my infirmities or ailments, thank you for my life. May I be able to bless somebody by telling them about the Lord, right? Thanks for this house, this electricity, my car that I can always go down the road and fill up and not have to kill somebody at the gas pump to do it, like in Haiti or France. Thanks for not having terrorism right here in my front yard. Thanks for not having someone beat down my house and try to enslave my children. You have a lot to be thankful for, Americans, that the rest of the world deals with every day. Hey, thanks for not having the artillery strike from Israel right now, right? Thanks for not having the suicide bomber blow up where my kids, line up to get picked up at school. You got a lot to be thankful for. Thank the Lord.
Doug, the reason why I took the phone and I put it on the map here so that folks can see, I'm going to say a little strong statement here, and you might not like it, but you see here Israel here on the map. You see the Gaza Strip. You see Jordan. You see Iraq, Saudi Arabia, and Afghanistan over here. Guess what? We have no control over any of that. Okay, we have no control. There's nothing that you and I, Doug, are going to say today that's going to change anything that's happening over there. They have been at war for centuries, okay? Religious wars, et cetera. There's nothing that you and I can do. But what we can do is right here at home, make our voices heard. Do something kind. How about that for somebody else? Go check in on an elderly neighbor every once in a while. Offer maybe to go get her groceries or something like that. Be a part of a community. Be a part of the solution. Be set an example. There's the word. Set an example of what a child of God looks like. How about that? Right? So others can see you. And they can see Jesus in your heart and in your eyes and see and ask that question. Why is Doug so excited about the future? Why does Doug smile? Why is Doug just a happy person? Well, because he knows the Lord. And that relationship, by the way, that person asked you, it's a very personal one and it's a very private relationship with the Father. For me, it sounds silly. I got in my truck this morning. I headed off to work. Guess who was sitting beside me? Jesus. That's my buddy for me, not for everybody, but for me. And I talk to him all the time and I get mad and I say stupid things. But then, you know, I talk to him just like I'm talking to you, right, Doug? Because that's my personal relationship with the Father and I know I can trust him. So that being said, guys, I cannot believe we've been on air a long time already. I don't know how much longer we have. Do we have time to do the tour?
Yeah, let's do a tour.
Okay. So we're just in the office. This is the warehouse. It's in Rockdale, Texas. You'll see we also have a Austin mail center there, but this is just the main office. We've got a galley. That's what we called it in the Navy here. We've got a galley here. We've got a studio back here. I'll just take you guys through here. This is where we film some of the smoothie recipes and things like that. We film those back here at the little bar. And now I'll take you guys out. Did you see Coco in our last show, Doug?
Yeah.
The pit bull rescue. This is his. This is where he hangs out when he comes down to the office. Okay. All right. I'm going to take you guys out into the warehouse now. So what you're looking at is approximately, that's total of 14,000 square feet. There is some division here. And what you see right away are the shelters that we've been talking about. Let me reverse the camera here so that you don't need to see my mug. Let's see here.
I can and if you this. Turn it sideways, it'll give a better picture.
Okay, now there we go. Okay, so we're heading for the shelters right now. These two are set up. So you guys have an idea why this nonprofit is so important to us. These shelters can easily sleep two people. And what I want to show you immediately, I'm going to come in real tight here. These are hinges all the way down. You see there's five hinges. That's because this shelter, which as you can see, stands over 7 feet tall, can actually collapse in on itself to be less than 1 foot tall, which means it can be trailered to anywhere in the United States on a 20-foot trailer. Okay. Now, what you're seeing here is solid steel. That's solid steel. Front, sides, I mean, top, bottom. Here's the front. This is the entryway. A little window here. There's also a window in the back. We'll go in here so you guys can see. There's outlets right on the wall. It's already built in. Lights on the ceiling. Optionally, we have these little futon beds. They pull out to be like a twin. Stainless steel. We haven't even taken the wrap off of them. Stainless steel sinks, stainless steel cabinets, optional. Sorry, it's a little dark in here. Optional shower here and a toilet off to the right and another window for ventilation, 20 amp circuit here at the top. So this is insulated. This shelter is insulated with rock wool insulation, and it would be equal to about an R30 if you were thinking about wool insulation. So there's another view from it inside. You just pick it up. You can see we have the straps here at the top. You can pick it up with a tractor, a backhoe, any type of farm implement that has that boom can pick them right up. And you just unfold them and put the load locks in, and they're set up. You can do it once you're used to it. You can do it in like 15 minutes. So I'm going to take you guys now into, we have two big coolers. For those Texans, you'll know this term HEB. This used to be HEB, this building here. Then Walmart ran them out. So that's another story. This is called bulk storage. This is where we store our bulk items. And this is always maintained through an alarm system at a certain temperature all year round. It's pretty cold here in Texas right now, so we're not using a lot of energy. This is our pouch. We call our pouch cooler. This is for products that have already been pouched. And it's hard to tell, Doug, and I don't want to lose you inside this cooler, but what you're looking at is actually over 1 million servings of food. Over 1 million servings of food. Each one of these pouches contains 12 servings, right? So this is also maintained at about, I think this is right around 45 degrees right now. You don't want to freeze-dried food. Okay, close this up. Okay, I'm going to take you guys into our portable food processor. This is USDA certified. The one thing that you'll notice right away is the stainless steel. Doug, please say something if I lose you, because this is a metal connex on the inside. We might lose you.
Yeah, we still got you.
Okay, so you guys see there's an air curtain here. This is where you're going to come in. You're going to wash up. You're going to change your clothes into a garment, head net, booties, the whole thing, right? Lab coat. You're going to do that here. Training videos, you can do here. This can be moved to any part of the United States. Just load it on the back of a truck and move down the road. You guys will see. I can't go too far because I'm not dressed for it, but we've got Bill back here working. He's former U.S. Army. And Bill says how great the Army was until the day he left, and now it's questionable. So this unit actually can be powered by a generator. It does not have to be on shore power. You'll see in the back here, and again, I can't come too far back here because he's processing right now, but there's two freeze dryers back here as well. One is used basically to get the food to below, negative 40 degrees. And then the other actually freeze dries the food in a specified amount of time. Close, I want to lock them in. All in all, the food processor weighs about 36,000 pounds. So again, can be loaded on the back of a trailer, moved anywhere in the world. Actually, you could have a portable food processor in the middle of a jungle in India, South America, or wherever that might be on its own power. Okay, so that's the design. I'm going to take you guys now back this direction and take you into what we call the packing room. We've got Patricia in here. Okay, so guys, this is the packing room. So when you place your order at simplycleanfoods.net or click on, Doug, do you have that link yet on your website?
Not yet. It'll be loaded as soon as possible.
Okay. So yeah, when you go to simplycleanfoods.net and you place that order, that's going to show up here at our Rockdale warehouse. We're going to fulfill that order. Everything that you guys just saw in that pouch cooler is right here on the wall, but in much smaller containers. So as you can see, guys, we have even clean dog food, fruits, vegetables, eggs, health-related items like ashwagandha, turmeric. Our whole organic powder line is here. Beet juice, banana, wheatgrass, kale, all your fruits and vegetables, even some of the really clean staples that we use every day, like beans and rice and things like that. So our herbs and all of our spices here, they're all pulled from this room. Packed, weighed and packed and shipped out by Patricia here, who does an amazing job for us. That's Patricia. She's saying hi. And, you know, we just can't, guys, we can't do this without you and without your support. And we do appreciate it. And Doug, I appreciate your partnership as well. Doug?
Yep.
Oh, yeah. I thought I lost you there. So let me get this camera turned back around here. Okay, there we go. There we go.
And I'll make sure I edit all this and make it nice and pretty.
Okay. All right. But I mean, you got a pretty good idea of the facility here and what we do.
Yeah, man. I love it. It's cool to see how compact the whole food processor really is. I expected like some big mechanized unit. The shelters, can you tell us a little bit what those are for, who those are for?
So on the this is a nonprofit, and first of all, it's fmgi.org, F Frank M Mary G Golf I India.org. It was designed initially to deal with the homelessness across the country, Doug, that we're experiencing, and then turned into, after Florida had that major weather event and people had to evacuate, a solution to that as well. So I'm so sorry. I thought I'd turn that off. There we go. The idea behind these shelters is they're not permanent, like a tiny house, right? They're not permanent structures. They could be set up during an emergency, used for however long the emergency lasts, and then collapsed and put it back into storage. We've had interest from construction companies who rent something similar to this by the day, by the week, or by the month. They're very affordable because it's a nonprofit. These are $5,800 bucks. That's it. And again, They're 2,300 pounds, solid steel. They're going to last many, many, many years. And unlike a tiny house, Doug, they're already insulated, right? And they already have power inside. So all you have to do is have your plumber go ahead and cut any lines, holes for your septic, right? And your water and anything else that you wanted, like a toilet, for example. Your plumber will take care of that because that's code. Have your electrician hook into the existing wiring, and now you have power. You could run these off of a small generator, right? Because they're 20 amps. So yeah, they're pretty awesome. And, we'd like to seriously get communities, you know, city departments, state agencies to take a look at this, because this is a solution to a major problem. Homelessness.
Yeah, it's spreading so bad across the world, especially here in America. I mean, more especially in Democratic cities. And we find that, at least when I was in law enforcement, I don't know if you guys know this or not, but these cities will gather up the homeless, put them on a Greyhound bus, and bus them to other states. I know San Antonio used to send them to Colorado. You know, I know Oregon.
They still do. Did you see that whistleblower, Doug? That whistleblower, Mike Adams interviewed him. They're shipping him to New York, Denver, Chicago, L.A., and I'm missing one. Five different areas, and they're getting $5,000. They're paying this bus company $5,000 a head.
Yep. That's the solution. That's the solution. Next, it will be eugenics. You know, I mean, just watch the human cyclic rate go through. They deport, and then they put them in the poverty-stricken areas, and then they start the eugenics process. Pray to God that does not happen in this country, but it is happening in Scandinavia. It's happening all across the world, but we just don't pay attention to it. I mean, in Canada, they're killing people who don't feel good, who have depression. You know, how is this the world that we grew up in? And one of the things that Christ talked about, and I read it from time to time, and every time I read it and I look at the news and I look at the state of the world, what he says grows more. It for me, there's so much more emotion in this statement now. When I return, will I find faith in the land? Right now, you have Satan robbing faith, robbing mercy, robbing empathy. You know, he comes to kill, steal, and destroy. Does he kill the body? Sure, but what he kills is motivations. He kills relationships. He kills your aspiration. You know, he kills the wants and desires that you have to be a better person. Mm-hmm. And he steals everything that Jesus came to free you from, right? He kills, he steals, and he destroys. What does he want to destroy? He wants to destroy humanity so that, like him, we are not redeemable. And so, looking forward to 2024 and seeing what's coming, the world is not going to end. I don't know if it's going to end in 2030. I don't think it is, personally. But I could be wrong, right? And I don't care if I'm wrong or if I'm right. I'm ready for Jesus to come back today. Are you? Amen. You know, that's where people need to live. They need to live in the state of, are you ready, like in Armenia, to be driven away from your house, to flee across the mountains, with nothing but faith in God? Are you ready for that? And if you're not, well, now you know where you need to practice. You need to get back on your knees, back into the presence of the Lord, and you need to stay there. And every time we stray away from it, man, bad things happen and people get caught unawares. Go ahead, Chance.
No, I just forgot to tell you, I think, on the last show, I don't want this to be an advertisement, or as the English say, an advertisement. But this is new to everybody, to your listeners. So you deserve to know that we do carry our own line of organic coffee. Now, I'm a coffee connoisseur, kind of a snob. I would say this is considered from Honduras. You said you were down there, right? This is the second smoothest coffee in the entire world. And it is fair trade, meaning the pickers down there, they get a fair wage for their labor. But it's considered the second smoothest coffee in the entire world. It's a light to medium roast. And there is definitely some confusion there that I'd like to straighten out. People think that a dark roast is a stronger coffee. Not in caffeine, only in flavor. Like many things that we cook, the longer you cook a product or the hotter you cook a product, the more minerals and vitamins you cook out of it. The same thing with coffee. The longer you roast it, the more caffeine you're going to cook out of it. Okay. So the light medium roast is a very strong in caffeine, but so smooth. The only thing that's smoother than this is a coffee out of Kona, Hawaii called the Pea Berry, the Kona Pea Berry coffee, but it's $35 a pound. Guys, this is a big 22 ounce bag for under $20. Okay. We roast on a weekly basis. I promise you, you're going to love this coffee, okay, if you like coffee. We do carry a full line of teas as well for the people who can't handle that caffeine. We do have some nice teas available as well.
Yeah, I think one of the next trainings that we do in Texas, you're going to be there to demonstrate some of that food for us. So, you know, we'll be fed by Simply Clean food. So that's going to be awesome.
Absolutely.
Yeah, we only got about a minute or two left, so I'll give you the last bit of it. Go ahead.
No, I want to just reiterate. I hope you got a copy. I think you did get a copy of that last newsletter, the 2024 newsletter. And in the beginning, it talks about, you know, how we're thanking you and hoping for a safe and wonderful new year. But there's also something that I wrote in there that I hope you agree with. In 2024, folks, consider eliminating the people that are toxic in your life. Now, most of us have them. These are the people that are naysayers. These are the people that are negative. These are the people that don't have anything positive to say about anything. And by the time you're done having a conversation with them, you're absolutely depressed, right? These are the people where the glass is half full that don't believe in hope or positive change in the world. Guys, you need to get these folks in 2024 out of your life. They're not going to bring you any joy. As a matter of fact, they're going to take your joy. Do you agree with that sentiment or not, my friend?
Absolutely.
You know, I honor my closest friends. They mean more to me, only second to my children, wife, and the Lord himself. Because I count on them when I need fellowship, right? When I need to be maybe straightened out, if I'm going down the wrong path, or if I need to vent. That's what my friends are for, and we all need friends like that. But we all have, even family out there, extended family, that we need to divorce, Let's just say it like it is. We need to divorce these people from our life, because how are we going to be good servants to Christ when we're surrounding ourselves with hate and discontent, right? That's not in the Word of God. By the way, fear we talked about in the beginning of the show, that comes from Satan, doesn't come from the Lord. There's no place for for fear in your life. So eliminate that and give your worries, your pain, and your fear over to God, right? Absolutely. Give them over to God. If just for the time being, give them over to the Father. I'd like to just end this in a quick prayer, Doug. Father, we come together as two or more in your name, and Lord Jesus Christ, you will hear our prayers. Father, we pray for first our country. We pray for our community. We pray for our families. We pray for those that are hurting. We pray for those that are in mental pain. We pray for the children that are being horribly abused across this globe, right here at our borders, Father. We pray that this evil that surrounds us is eliminated. We pray that we are not to judge, Lord, only you can judge, that you judge these sinners, these horrible, horrible people, to eternity in hell. Father, we thank you for, however, the blessings that you've bestowed upon our lives, our family, our friends. We thank you for that breath that we take in the morning. We thank you for our families. We thank you for the basic necessities of life, Father. We honor you above all others. And these things we pray. Amen.
Amen. Brother, thanks for coming on with us today. Ladies and gentlemen, we thank you very much for watching. We know this podcast went a little bit further than what we expected, but hey, whatever. Praise God. We were here to hopefully anoint some of you with what we've said, with the word of the Lord. And if you don't know Jesus as your Savior, I ask that you seek him out. You seek him out and you ask him to be your Savior. 2024 is only going to get worse. So be ready. Don't be in fear, but be ready. So that's all we got.
Don't forget to use the code RECKER, RECKER, RECKR, when you check out.
Yep, the link will be for Simply Clean Foods will be in the description box below. So, ladies and gentlemen, thanks very much for watching. We'll see you next time.
All stations, all call signs. Prepare for transmission. This is Wrecker Actual. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine. I will repay, saith the Lord. End. of transmission.
Klaus Schwab from the World Economic Forum has said, "You will own nothing and you will love it." And that's represented by what's going on across the planet today, where the economy of the world is in free fall, and nowhere is it more in evidence than with our own President Biden deliberately trying to sabotage what we have, access to food, other resources. So Americans are in a unique position, really for the first time in our history. We're going to have to provide for ourselves or subject ourselves to the whim of the government. Do you really trust a government to feed you that left 1,000 Americans behind enemy lines in Afghanistan? I don't think so. So where do you go? When you ask the question, who's the best prepper out there today? There's only one answer. Ready Made Resources and Robert Griswold. I call him King Prepper, and that's how a lot of people think of him. You have everything there you'd want, from night vision to storable food, how to prepare cooking in emergency situations, books and videos on how to prepare alternative energy, communication, first aid that you wouldn't think of, natural antibiotics, you name it, Bob has it. Now, here's the good thing about Bob Griswold that no one else does but him. You don't have to buy anything to talk to him. If you're not sure where to start with your preparation, no obligation phone call directly to Bob. You can talk to him for free. Most people will charge you an arm and a leg for a half-hour conversation. That's not Bob Griswold. He cares about helping America get prepared. Go to readymaderesources.com, or you can call the number directly at 800-627-3809. Again, that contact information, readymaderesources.com, for the best prepping outfit in the country, or call Bob Griswold directly, 800-627-3809.